Hello and welcome to the next edition of the Alex and Nick podcast. It's been a while since we recorded the last one, I think.
Yeah, it's about 12 days, I think.
It feels like an eternity. But yeah, so we thought we'd do another one, mainly about John Carter, which we went to see yesterday.
So we're actually topical.
Yes. Is this the first time? Oh no, I had that accidental sneak preview of This Means War. I think that was the closest we got.
Is that even actually out yet, isn't it?
I don't know.
I thought it was late March.
It's not a film that interests me anymore. But yeah, so we saw John Carter yesterday. And so we'll have our thoughts about it. So
it's good.
And that's the end of the podcast. To start off with, I very much wanted it to be good. I mean, I went in there really hoping it was going to be good because I wanted it to be a big success just because, you know, it's predicted to be such a massive flop. And I think in an earlier podcast, did we talk about how you hadn't heard of it at all?
Yeah, the advertising campaign was so abysmal. Like, the trailer showed some really bland scenes and it didn't really work at all.
Yeah, I was thinking about this because I was, you know, there's a lot of comparisons to Avatar. That I've been hearing anyway, and I was just thinking about how different the campaigns were, in the sense that with the Avatar trailer, it really goes out of its way to kind of explain everything, how everything was working. So you saw them kind of discussing how they were going to put Jake in the Avatar body and what this was for and why they were doing it. We saw him arrive at the tribe, so you really had a, before you even went into the film, you knew what kind of the most basic level of storyline was going to be. Whereas with John Carter, from what I can remember, the adverts were just, this guy is on Mars. You know, don't know why, don't know what he's doing there. He looks like all the other humans.
Yeah.
So why he's particularly baffled, I'm not quite sure. But then just, lots of kind of why he can leap 100 metres in the air. Don't know why that's going on. So it's just an absolute kind of, you know, mishmash of what the studio presumably thought were cool images, but just in no coherent order.
They were quite cool, but it didn't really work as a trailer because it didn't tell you particularly anything about what the film was.
Yeah, when you saw that trailer, you did not know anything more.
I was trying to describe it to someone before we'd seen it.
Yeah.
And it's space and lasers.
There's a guy and he chops up some aliens.
In the desert, he's got a sword.
Mark Strong has got blue eyes.
He sure did. Yeah, what did you think of Mark Strong in it?
To be honest, you know, Mark Strong, he always puts in a good job. You know, I've never seen him in a film that he's bad, but he never particularly inspires me as a villain. He's never, you know, when he shows up on the scene, I don't get chills or anything. You know, it's just, I thought he was fine. But to be honest, the villains were the weakest part of John Carter for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it as well. Me and Nick both did. And, you know, the measure for me was, I think the film is about 2 hours.
Two and a bit hours,
20 minutes or something. And yet it flew by for me. You know, I thought it was really entertaining. I thought the visuals were really good. The white ape sequence, that looked spectacular.
And an amazingly done anti-climax.
Yeah, well, we won't spoil that for you. But yeah, a deliberate anti-climax, I think. Yeah, you know, comic relief side characters done right. I think George Lucas could have taken...
Look out for the little fat dog thing. If you go and see it,
We would compare it to another side character, another sci-fi show, but obviously it's from the Forbidden film that we're not allowed to talk about.
Yeah.
So, but... Not
Phantom Menace, right?
Yeah, the Phantom. So yeah, I thought it was really enjoyable. It's kind of old school kind of adventure.
The book was the sort of quintessential rebirth sci-fi at this sort of turn of the century. 1912, I think.
It was
like 100 years, and it sort of reinvented sci-fi to an extent. And the film, I haven't read the book, but from what I've heard, it's loosely based on the first one, but pinches some villains from the third to repurpose them as some explanation.
Yeah, they've kind of retooled bits of it, haven't they? It moves on at a feral pace, and it never kind of slows down, never gets bogged down too much in exposition or details. I found it quite refreshing. I know a lot of people think that John Carter is a bit of a bland protagonist, but I found it quite refreshing to have a protagonist that had so much baggage that you had to get through. I mean, obviously he has a kind of traumatic past, but it's dealt with relatively quickly and imaginatively. You know, it's juxtaposed with a very cool action scene, and you know, I found it quite a nice change to have a character that was relatively simple in a way that, you know, Luke Skywalker was quite simple in Star Wars. You know, he wasn't a particularly complex character.
He was just a floppy-haired man.
Yeah, so, you know, I thought it was quite nice.
The female lead.
Oh, yes.
Princess.
Lynn Collins. Yeah.
Princess Deja.
I'd heard she was excellent beforehand.
Yeah.
You know, someone else had told me that they thought she was great, and I agree. Yeah, I thought she was... She's the kind of...
She's what a female supporting character should be.
Yeah, the gold standard for them. You know, not too aggressive and...
So more like a genuine equal.
Yeah, and it didn't look like, because sometimes you can almost hear the director or the producers going, no, we need to make her stronger, make her more obnoxious and aggressive, you know, and then the character just comes off as being unlikable. Or you have the kind of polar opposite where they just flounder about like a Bond girl or something.
Need rescuing.
Yeah, but this, she kind of was in that perfect middle ground where...
I'd kind of compare it to some extent, speaking of Bond girls, to, do you remember Wei Lin from Tomorrow Never Dies?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Quite a sort of similar thing, that she wasn't sort of just angry, but and then like an
Yeah,
over
she feminist, could hold her own, yeah. But she, you know, James Bond helped out and kind of, she needed him for some things, but other things she could deal with perfectly well and you know, saved him a couple of times. Yeah, I think, it was nice to see that as well. Aliens, what do you think of those? There was a lot of, when they were kind of first showing the trailers, a lot of people thought they looked pretty bad. But what do you think?
I thought they looked like a Martian should look.
Serviceable, better, you know, close to the Na'vi from Avatar.
They were green instead of blue.
That's true. They had four arms. But I was just thinking in terms of, I don't know,
like
one thing.
Visuals.
I thought that I found it more difficult to sort of tell emotion in their face sometimes.
Occasionally, because I guess
obviously they're so different. But I don't know, with Avatar, I got a better sense of their emotions. Maybe just because they overplayed it more.
Yeah.
Maybe it was intentional, but it didn't particularly bother me. I was just thinking about this now.
I thought they did it quite well. They managed to make a couple of characters when they were supposed to be looking a bit sneaky or devious or suspicious. Those kind of things conveyed really well. It was just sort of when they were really happy, didn't come across quite as easily.
Speaking of happy and devious, the other thing that...
Nice
segue. It did make me think of, I was thinking when you said devious of the female villain alien and how there were no kind of clear good sides. Do you see what I mean? There was...
Yeah.
The aliens weren't like the native Indians or the Na'vi or whatever in those kind of films where they're clear-cut good guys. You know, we love the nature... We love everyone, live in harmony. They were very much a kind of quite fierce tribe. And I thought it was quite nice to, have allies that weren't just obviously the nice people to go with, but were in fact, you know, had their own traditions that were quite cruel in some of the, there were some sort of, relatively dark ideas in there.
As a more obscure comparison, I probably think sort of similar to maybe the Krogans in Mass Effect.
Throwing in game references in a film podcast, this is deeply risky.
A little obscure.
I've just, we've lost 10 listeners right there. Whoa, 10 listeners. What am I talking about? 4 listeners, all our listeners.
Both of them.
So, I thought, I very much enjoyed it. You know, it was entertaining, fast-paced, didn't get bogged down. You got any other meaningful, deep comments to make about it? Any kind of political commentary we can throw in here?
There wasn't really an actor in it that you'd sort of, either as a big sort of, this actor's in it, go and see it, or this actor's in it, kind of suck.
That's true, it didn't have a kind of marquee name, did it? I mean, I thought it was, again, quite interesting in the marketing campaign that they didn't emphasise it. It had quite a strong supporting cast. I mean, Mark Strong, you know, Dominic West, they're relatively established actors. They're by no means kind of small time. So it was, again, surprising that they chose not to emphasise this.
Who was it that did the voice of Targ Tarsus?
Yeah, they had Willem Dafoe. Yeah, that was Willem Dafoe. Yeah, and then they had Samantha Morton was the voice of Sola, female alien.
Right.
So, you know, they chose not to kind of emphasise that. In fact, I don't think I've seen any posters with Taylor Kitsch. I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, but I'll call him Taylor from now on, first name terms, I imagine. Taylor's name on it. And again, it'll be interesting to see. I very much hope it's a financial success. I doubt it will be. But it doesn't have a strong name. But I guess, on the other hand, it's not like his name is particularly tarnished. You know, some people were worried that Tom Cruise would start putting people off films because his personal life was, whether, appropriately or not, changing people's perception of how they saw his films. And, you know, there was that kind of speculation about whether Mission Impossible, with him headlining it, would be able to do well. And obviously it did. Were you put off by Tom Cruise?
I have quite a bit of respect for Tom Cruise. I think he gets... We've talked about this before, not to other people, but sort of the... Yeah, he seems to get a lot of flack for no real good reason.
I feel he's kind of... Does it matter what his personal life is like? Whether you agree with it or not, it doesn't...
He's a fairly decent actor.
I think he's a good actor, and he does well. And he does a lot of his own stunts. He really gets in there, I think.
And if anyone saw him on Top Gear, he got really into that.
Yeah, he was a very fast driver, So I think there are a lot of actors who have dodgy personal lives and don't get nearly as much kind of flack for it. I personally not put off by Tom Cruise. I am, however, there are actors that do put me off. Not because of their personal life, but just because they irritate me. This is the kind of dangerous area. You're not sure where you're supposed to admit this when you're talking about films, but there are are actors that genuinely affect whether I go into a film more willing to like it or not.
Well, only say one of them in case our listener likes them.
That's true, yeah. I don't like... Well, no, Jim Carrey. I think he's great. He was great in The Truman Show. And he was great in Eternal Sunshine. And they were kind of his more serious roles.
Yeah.
In comedies, I cannot stand him.
Did you not like The Mask?
No. I liked it when I was very young. but looking back on it, and I didn't like... I think he just goes so overboard in all the films and really kind of drains them of any kind of subtlety. Or I mean, obviously, he doesn't even star in subtle comedies, but he's so over the top that I find it genuinely obnoxious and grating. So
stand-up's pretty similar as well.
Is it? I don't watch stand-up. Yeah, so he's probably, off the top of my head, he's probably the main actor. Most actors I'm relatively...
See, for me, it would probably be Daniel Craig. I'm not a Daniel Craig fan.
It's quite a, what?
Controversial Why? View of the
yeah.
week.
This is Nick's controversial view of the week, everyone.
Pretty similar to the other one, actually, that I didn't like.
You just hate Daniel Craig.
Well, yeah, so...
Well, I don't understand why.
In James Bond, he seems... Well, I've spoken about James Bond before, I won't go into that. He just seems bland, he's not Bond. In Tomb Raider, he was really, really... dull. He didn't really do anything. There was another one I saw that I can never remember the name of when he was...
Well, have you seen Layer Cake?
I have not.
Because that was the role that got him James Bond, and I thought he was good in that. I mean, I like him as Bond, so obviously we're different there, but he's worth watching that.
But what was the other one I saw? He was some kind of, I think, a Polish person?
Oh, Defiance. Defiance.
Yeah, and I wasn't a fan of that at all. I thought he was abysmal in it.
It's quite interesting. It's quite tricky.
I think on the whole he is massively overrated.
I don't think he's an amazing actor, but I think he does James Bond quite well. And I haven't seen Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. He's in, so I don't know about that.
Well, I just said off straight. I'm not going to see that.
But I haven't seen Cowboys and Aliens either, for good reason.
Not just for Daniel.
Yeah.
See, but that was just before I knew anything about the film. I wanted to see what it was like. Mm. Like with a title like Cowboys and Aliens, could it work? Could it be not satirical but silly enough to pull off that kind of title? And then from what I've heard, it takes itself way too seriously. Daniel Craig only does serious. And it's just sort of, I didn't bother going and seeing it.
I feel like, again, the marketing was not fantastic for it, because it put itself up as a serious film. And I think that could work, but the title is so... It's like Snakes on a Plane. If you found out Snakes on a Plane was a dead serious drama about snakes on a plane, the name is just... It's totally at odds with the content. I think Cowboys and Aliens, they should have either gone with the kind of catchy name that makes people pay attention.
Like Megaroctopus versus Giant exactly. Shark or the Crocosaurus or whatever.
Yeah, so you kind of get their attention with that silly name, but then you've got to judge the tone in the same way and kind of have it on the same level. And I think they didn't. We should probably... I might watch it just to see if it's as bad as a lot of people say it is.
We could watch it and compare it to Giant Shark versus Crocosaurus.
I don't want to watch Giant Shark. I feel like there are better films out.
Yeah, so let's go for a positive then. Actors that do make you want to go see a film.
There are actors who just, because their work is of such high quality. Like Daniel Day-Lewis, I'm automatically interested in anything he's in just because he's in it, So I guess there's that. What about you? I'll only think one.
Probably Liam Neeson.
All right.
Because I think he's awesome. Yeah, so obviously Schindler's List was his first real huge commercial success, wasn't it? Far as I know.
When it comes to box office numbers, I'm not good before like 2-3 years ago. I can remember the recent ones.
He did sort of a few like minor action films, I think, and then did Schindler's List, went more serious, and then has now started going back to his old style. But he seems to sort of flick sporadically between them.
He does have a kind of eclectic choice, doesn't he?
Whether it's doing a more serious role or a slightly mental go around punching people like in something like Taken. But saying that, I'm very excited to go and see The Grey, never got round to it.
No,
there was always something else.
That
on
was our fault, wasn't it? Because I always wanted to see something slightly different. So I did want to see The Grey that one time, and then we went to see something else. What did we see? I think it was Carnage.
It might have been Carnage, which I did really enjoy.
It was good, yeah. But it didn't have wolves.
Or Liam Neeson.
More important. Yeah,
stay on topic.
No, we're going to wolves.
I'm excited by films with wolves in.
I think Tom Hardy. I don't know why. I can't really explain it.
Man crush?
I think it's a bit of a man crush, yeah. Cause
he's no Patrick Stewart.
He's no Patrick Stewart, but he's got time. But
he's like 40 years.
But Yeah, there are, you know, there are just actors who kind of... But also there are actors that just pick interesting projects. And that makes me interested in the project that, which they happen to be connected to, like Ryan Gosling. You know, and I think he's a good actor, but you know, he's not specifically an actor who I kind of get really excited about when I see his name on a poster. But he picks a lot of interesting roles and in interesting films I want to see anyway. So kind of his name gets tied together. So when I see his name, I'm more interested in the film, not just him. So there are people like that as well. I can't think of any others.
What's coming out, or what are we going to see next? I'm seeing Woman in Black on Tuesday.
Oh yes, you are. I'm not. I'm quite interested to see it. Unfortunately, I'm busy on Tuesday. But yeah, you know, I'm quite interested to see if I'm hoping that Daniel Radcliffe will be good
in
it, because I want him to succeed, because he seems like a nice guy. Have we talked about this before?
It feels slightly deja vu.
Maybe I just like talking about how much I like Daniel Radcliffe.
You sure like Daniel Radcliffe?
But well, it's funny, because I don't think he's an amazing actor, but he just seems like a nice guy. It'd be interesting to see I think it's been a success financially.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting if it's a good film. So you can bring feedback with that. That can be our next topical podcast. Yeah. So listeners, next time we'll have Woman in Black.
And we'll talk about a film that came out 3 weeks ago.
More topical news from the Alex and Nick Film Podcast.
Telling you yesterday's news today.